against yourself. This is a different kind of message. Now, they say the average person will think between 12,000 and 60,000 thoughts a day. That's what they say. I don't know who tabulates all this, but that's a lot of thinking. And I'm not sure how accurate it is, but we're overwhelmed with information. And the message tonight is you need to think about what you're thinking about. You need to think about what you're thinking about. And the Bible tells us we're in a mental battle. So why don't we read this out loud as a congregation? Just stand to your feet if you would, please, and this will make it easy. And Pastor Craig, you got a good voice. Just let's read these out loud together, these verses, okay? For though we walk
after the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down
now notice what this scripture is saying here regarding the thinking apparatus or the mind. It says that it talks about we have these powerful weapons to pull down strongholds, mental beachheads built up in the mind, wrong, incorrect thinking, casting down imaginations, imaginations having to do with the mind or the thinking process and the thoughts, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And notice bringing into captivity every what?
Thought.
Every thought. Every thought. So the warfare on the saint, it's a battle for the mind. It's between our ears. So if we think wrong, we are wrong. If we believe wrong, we live wrong. So I want to talk to you tonight about thinking about what you're thinking about, bringing every thought captive. You have to arrest your thoughts. You have to lasso these renegade thoughts. You just can't let them run off the deep end here. And you have to rein them in because thoughts are powerful meditations, musings. And wherever you allow your focus to go, your energy will flow. And focus is just concentrated thoughts. You need to think about what you're thinking about. Would you open your heart to the Lord tonight and ask God to help us and teach us something? Just take a moment and give God permission to talk to you. In fact, ask Him to. Now, Lord, have something in session and in season for every heart here this evening, Lord. Help us, Lord, to think about what we're thinking about and employ these powerful weapons. We give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I read about EEG technology. EEG technology. Somebody told me about this. I couldn't believe it. But I looked it up, and they have developed a wireless headset that can link brain waves with machines. They call it EEG technology. And with this technology, they say you can control your environment with your thoughts. You can connect to devices with your thoughts. And this headset will allow you to, your thoughts to control machines and various technologies. For example, with your thoughts in this machine, you can turn the lights on in a room. You can drive an automobile. You can play a keyboard. I can't play one to start with. I don't know how I could do it with this machine right here. You can drive a motorized wheelchair by the power of thought. You can play video games. Well, we need more of that, right? You can drive cars. You can command a spy drone by the power of thought. Now, this is like Star Trek on steroids. This is almost sci-fi. It's almost hard to believe this, but they have this. Now, obviously, there's a tremendous power of the mind in the secular world, but how much more true in the spiritual world? Your thoughts are powerful. What you think defines you. In fact, you are the consequence of your thoughts and your beliefs. You know what you believe? You believe what you hear repeated. The reason you believe what you believe is because you've heard it repeated over and over. And I want to tell you something. What you think is very important. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Jesus said, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. So these things are exuding from the heart. It's toxic thinking. Now, your inner world is important because your inner world is the world of your thoughts. Now, your thoughts are the incubator for your words. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what do people say? They speak what they've been pondering in their hearts. Now, your speech is the overflow of your heart. What's in the well comes up in the bucket. I mean, whatever's down there, buddy, she's gonna come out. And your thoughts decide your words. Your words have a shaping influence. I would go so far as to say, your words dictate the course of your life. The Bible says the tongue is a little member and it's like the rudder on a ship that gives direction to that big vessel. It says the tongue is like a bridle in a horse's mouth. Very, very small thing, but it gives direction to the horse's body. A clinical professor of psychiatry said the average man speaks 7,000 words a day. Same guy said that the average woman speaks 20,000 words a day, and I know why. Because she has to repeat everything to her husband two or three times because he's not listening. So that's why she's talking more. I put it in there for the women, amen? So there it is. That's a lot of words. Now, we sure talk a lot. Now, listen to this. We talk more to ourselves than anybody else. We talk more to ourselves than to anybody else. Your mouth might utter 10,000, 7,000, or 20,000 words a day in the presence of others, but your heart utters more words to you than anybody else. And self-talk is what you say to yourself. Now, what you say to yourself is important. What you say to yourself is important. What kind of self-talk do you do? Well, self-flattery talk. Do you ever compare yourself to other people in a favorable way and thank God you're not like other men? Have you ever done something like that? Self-flattery talk. What about self-excusing talk? Well, I know I got this problem, but at least I'm not as bad as the other guy over here. What about self-justification talk? Well, you know, I do have this problem here. And what about self-exaltation talk? You know, seeing yourself as the hero all the time. Well, what about self-abuse talk? Well, you're no good. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never get victory over this. Self-abuse talk. What about self-abasement talk? What about self-condemning talk? What about self-limiting talk? I believe that scores of people have programmed themselves by speaking the wrong things to themselves. So we limit ourselves. We damage ourselves. We devalue ourselves. At times we condemn ourselves and we deceive ourselves through self-talk. Now I believe that inside of all of us, there is this whiny, thumb-sucking, self-pitying, pessimistic, complaining, doubting, betraying Judas called self. And that inner Judas is all the time looking for something to be angry about. All the time looking for something to be upset about. All the time looking for a point of conflict, scouting for something negative. But believers should be annoyingly optimistic. And what's going on in the culture is irrelevant because our kingdom is not of this world. Now, how many of you go along with this idea? You need to think about what you're thinking about. How many of you think that's okay? So say that out loud. You need to think about what you're thinking about. Put it this way. I need to think about what I'm thinking about. Say that out loud. I need to think about what I'm thinking about. You say, well, do you have any scripture for this? Yes, I happen to have some scriptures. Now, look at this one right here. Look carefully at what it says. It says, David, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. Now, read the bold letters out word. Read the bold letters out loud. Let's try that, all right? And speaketh the truth in his heart. Where's he speaking the truth? He's speaking to himself. He's speaking the truth in his heart. That's heart speech. That's self-talk. Now, let me ask you a few questions. Who do you think about the most? yourself? Who do you talk to yourself about the most? Yourself. Who do you think about the most? Yourself. No one is more influential in your life than you. No one lies to you more than yourself. And I'm telling you, our hearts are capable of lying to us. And I want to tell you, you better be careful who you listen to and who you believe, even yourself. Now listen, we talk to ourselves the most. We think about ourselves the most. We talk to ourselves about ourselves the most. We influence ourselves the most. And we lie to ourselves more than anyone else. So you need to think about what you're thinking about. Now, because what you're thinking about is what you're talking to yourself about. You've got to win the argument against yourself. Now, look at this text right here, Ephesians chapter 5. Read it out loud if you would please, real loud. Speaking. Speaking to who? Speaking to yourself. With what? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Stop listening to yourself. Start talking to yourself. It's a happy day when you quit listening to yourself. And you learn how to talk to yourself. You say, well, only crazy people talk to themselves. Really? No, everybody talks to themselves. David talked to himself. Look at what he said in Psalm 42. Look at David's self-talk. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Who's he talking? Who is he talking to? He's talking to himself, right? He's like, hey, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted? Why are you in turmoil? Why are you having all this perplexity? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance. David talked to himself. Now, David spoke to himself. He questioned himself. He was asking himself, why are you so downcast? What's wrong with you, soul? What's wrong? Why are you in turmoil? What's your problem? He's talking to him. He's counseling himself. You got to learn how to counsel yourself. Now, David spoke to himself in other places. Look at this one. I'll read it out loud. Return unto thy rest. Who is he addressing? His soul. Himself. Look at what he said. He said, return unto your rest, O my soul. And he reminded himself that the Lord had dealt bountifully with him. I say David talked to himself in lots of places in the recorded word of God. Now this one in Psalm 103 is a tremendous, tremendous one. And notice what he said. Bless the Lord. Say these words out loud. Who's he talking to? Himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. David was talking to himself. Now David is thinking about what he should be thinking about. He's reminded himself of truth. He's reminding himself of God's benefits. He's rehearsing the blessings. All forgiven, iniquities forgiven, diseases healed. He's rehearsing his blessings. He's exalting the Lord in his heart instead of cataloging his difficulties. He's speaking the truth in his heart. And what is he telling himself? Don't forget the goodness of God. Don't forget the benefits of God. Man, bless the Lord, O my soul. So he's reminding himself. Now, it says here that God can heal all diseases. Diseases like bitterness, regret, depression, anxiety, guilt, fear, anger. Isn't it wonderful when the body gets healed? Isn't it wonderful when the body gets healed? But it's even more wonderful when the soul gets healed. Wow. And he's reminded himself of all this. Here's a man who had some catastrophic failures, right? Man, he didn't do everything right. Look at it. How many when reading the Bible about some of these characters that messed up makes you feel better about you? Say amen on that point. It really does. Now, what do you say to yourself tonight? What have you been saying to yourself this last week? You've got to win the argument against yourself. And what you're speaking to yourself is shaping your soul. Your focus will dictate your feelings. Change your focus, change your feelings. So if you're, you know, in a terrible state of mind, change your focus, it will change your feelings. Okay, it's as simple as that. And you can choose what you think about. You can select your thoughts. Now listen to this. What I see affects what I think. Is that true? What I see affects what I think. What I think affects how I feel. Is that true? And what I feel affects what I do. And what I do affects how I feel. So you see something, hear something, it puts you on a trail, and if you run it down and you engage in some activity or say something or do something or think, and then you get to feeling bad about it, it's a cycle that's going on here. Now this concept is throughout the Bible. I didn't get this from Dr. Phil. I didn't get this from Freud. I didn't get this from Carl Jung. I mean, this is the Word of God. All right. Now look at this right here. This is Lamentations. Now, by the way, if your face looks like a reprint of the Book of Lamentations, you need to get a facelift. Amen. So get a mirror before you leave home and practice smiling. All right, now look at this right here. And I said, my strength and my hope has perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Now listen to what he says to himself. Now, it is the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now listen to what he said to himself. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Jeremiah is talking to himself. That's what this is. He's talking to himself. Now, David talked to himself, as we've seen on many, many occasions. Winston Churchill said this. He said, I've had many troubles, most of which never came true. And a lot of us can imagine problems and eventualities and difficulties. Anybody ever have a pain and you're thinking, I bet it's cancer. Does anybody else ever do something like this? And you're having something going on and you're thinking, oh man, it's probably Parkinson's. Or, you know what? I mean, you're thinking the worst. They don't like me. They call me. They probably want to lay me out. I mean, we're thinking the worst possible thing. Don't be crossing bridges till you get to them. Because most of the things we think about are imaginary and they never come to pass in the first place. So he said, I've had many troubles, most of which never came true. Now the only person that comes up with more fake news than CNN is you. Nobody comes up with more fake news than your heart. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying here this evening? Now, let me give you some quotes here tonight, some lengthy quotes from Martin Lloyd-Jones, that English expositor. Listen to what Martin Lloyd-Jones said in his book, Spiritual Depression, which is a classic. Here's what he said. The main trouble in this area of spiritual depression, in a sense, is this, that we allow ourself to talk to us instead of talking to ourself. Am I just deliberately being paradoxical? Far from it. This is the very essence of wisdom in this matter. Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you're listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Take these thoughts that come to you the moment you wake up in the morning. You have not originated them, but they start talking to you. They bring back the problem of yesterday. Someone is talking to you. Who is talking to you? Yourself is talking to you. Now, this man's treatment was this. Instead of allowing self to talk to him, he talks to himself. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Now, he asked the question. His soul has been repressing him, crushing him. So he stands up and says, self, listen for a moment. I want to speak to you. The main art in this matter of spiritual living is to know how to handle yourself. You have to take yourself in hand. You have to address yourself, preach to yourself, question yourself. You must say to your soul, why are you cast down? What business do you have to be disquieted? You must turn on yourself, upbraid yourself, condemn yourself, and exhort yourself, and say to yourself, hope in God instead of uttering in this depressed, unhappy way. And then you must go on to remind yourself of God, who He is, and what He has done, and what God has placed Himself to do in the future. This having done that, I end on this great note. Defy yourself and defy other people and defy the devil and the whole world and say with this man, I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance, who is also the help of my countenance and my God. What about that? How many ever heard of Johnny Erickson Tada? Broke her neck in a diving accident when she was 18. She's been paralyzed now for, 60 years or something. Now she just got cancer on top of the rest of it. She can't do anything. She can't take care of her hygiene. She can't do anything. She's a paraplegic, right? My wife and I were on a vacation, and we listened to her. And you know, when you listen to people like this who have real problems, it sure puts your small problems in perspective, does it not? Now listen to what she said. Johnny Erickson Tada, there are very few days when my soul does not require a good talking to. On most mornings when pain encroaches, I demand my soul to come into allegiance and alignment with the Holy Spirit. I order it to stand at attention and take orders from God for the day, that it rejoice in the day that has been made by our Creator, that it ascribe a holy purpose for living, that it quit being sullen and be hopeful in Jesus, that it rejoice in the Lord, and therein lies its strength. Sometimes as a quadriplegic, it is plain tiring. Add to that chronic pain. It wears on the soul. It is why when I deal with pain, I often pray, Johnny, why are you cast down? Why are you so disturbed within yourself? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Join me in urging your soul to find its solace and comfort in Jesus Christ alone. Talking to yourself. Now, I think I shared this with you. We had some health issues come into our family, okay? And my wife handled hers really good, and she handled mine really well. But the problem was I didn't handle them so good. And I got some bad information, which is no excuse, but I'm running off to the worst possible conclusion. My wife and I are on vacation. We're in Mexico. And one morning she got up and went out and got under the umbrella. And I'm in the room by myself. It was a two-room place. So I went and made sure that the maid wasn't in there. It was just me. And then I went and locked the door, put out a don't disturb sign. Then I went into the bathroom, and I turned on the light, and I looked in the mirror, and guess who was there? Myself. So I commenced to talk to myself. Now, if you think my preaching to other people is rough, you should have heard what I said to me. What I said to me. I'm telling you, it was hotter and heavier than anything I've ever said to anybody. So I'm in this pit. So I'm looking at the mirror and I'm looking at myself. And I said something like this. What do you think you're doing? Moaning, whining, groaning, murmuring, complaining. Get up! And I yell at myself. I don't have any time. Get up! You're dying. Get up! If you don't get out of this, you're going to kick the... Get up! And I was in there prophesying to myself, preaching to myself, which was one of the best things I ever did. And you got to learn how to quit listening to yourself. You don't have to take it. You don't have to take all that nonsense talk. You don't have to take all that self-pity talk. You don't have to take all that garbage, brother. Learn to talk to yourself. Now, look, don't curse yourself, okay? I mean, don't, you know what I'm saying? Don't get too violent here. But you got to take yourself in hand, and you got to put yourself in your place. Anybody with me on this? All right, here's out of the book Oasis. Listen to this one. This is called Talk Yourself Out of the Pit. And it's based on Psalm 42. Why you disquieted within me, I will yet hope in God. All right, now here's the devotion on page 340 of the devotional book Oasis, available on our website. Listen to what it says right here. You've got to stop listening to yourself. Of all the voices that can lead you astray, your own voice may be the deadliest. David was in the throes of depression when he said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" He chose to stop listening to himself and he started talking to himself. David probed even deeper. He said, "Soul, why are you in turmoil?" Now, when you're depleted and depressed, you're not thinking right. Can anybody give me a witness on that right there? You know, you're just not thinking right. Now, words are the overflow of the heart, and it is not healthy or helpful to listen to yourself when you're in a pit. Your heart will chastise you, condemn you, and take you further down into despair, but you've got to speak truth to your own heart. Find a scripture that addresses your situation. You need to hear the truth. God's word is truth, and reuttering some lie the devil has whispered in your ear will never have a lifting effect. David moped around for a year or so under a heavy cloud of guilt. He never would have found restoration by feeding on the trash coming out of his heart. Follow David's example after a failure. Have the courage to verbally confront yourself. Instead of talking to another human being, give yourself a truth talk. If you messed up, fess up. Tell God the real things. You don't need to confess the same sin numerous times. Admit it to God once and then thank Him for forgiveness. It is not God's will for you to spend endless days moping and mourning. When you fall down, don't stay down. God's grace is far greater than your guilt. Tell yourself to get up. Do this immediately. Stop listening to yourself. Start talking to yourself. Here's the rest of David's speech to his troubled heart. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He went from the pit to praise, and you can too. I came home from Cancun. I have a sunroom. I love a sunroom, man. The house is dark. I like light. So I got this sunroom. So I got this easy chair. This is where I have my daily secret place. This is where I worship God every morning. This is where I praise the Lord. And I wasn't praising the Lord much in those days because I was consumed with myself. So I went to the office and printed out on the computer two words. Get up. Get up! Exclamation point. Get up! And I trimmed it up and I put it right up there. It's right there in my sunroom even today. And every morning when I go out there, I'd look up at that, get up! Get up! You got a choice. Yeah, look, we all might die tonight, but we don't have to die moping around. We can die praising around if we choose to. We can tell ourselves what to do. Is anybody with me on this morning right here? Now quit listening to yourself. We have weapons, powerful through God, to pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, as I have said, that most churches have a strong theology of depravity, but a very weak theology of victory. And we need to change that. Now, let me give you some things I think could be helpful. Number one, recognize your resources. You have to recognize you have powerful weapons, mighty through God, to pull down these strongholds. And these weapons come from God. They're mighty through God. And you have to recognize that you have these weapons. You have empowerment. You have empowerment. So recognize your resources. Number two, you have to reject the falsehoods. Now, all kinds of things come through our minds. All kinds of things come through our minds. And you have to learn to recognize you have powerful weapons and you have to reject the false. That's what it means to pull down strongholds. Casting down imaginations, that means to demolish, to destroy, to wreck these imaginations. So when things come into your mind that ought not to be there, you know what you can say? I reject that. I refuse that. I'll not entertain that. You're going to have to learn how to deal with this kind of stuff. The sun has a sinking spell every night, but she rises up every morning, and you're going to be bombarded in your mind and in your heart with all kinds of thoughts that are not coming from God. Some of them are coming from the devil, but a lot of them come from us. And we have to learn how to deal with this. Number three, you got to rebuild the mind. You have to learn to rebuild the mind. That's why he gave us the helmet of salvation. And the shield of faith. For what? To quench the fiery thought missiles that come from the enemy. So develop the habit. Jesus talked to the devil in the wilderness temptation. People in the Bible talk to God all the time. And people in the Bible talk to themselves on occasion. I wouldn't get carried away with talking to yourself. But every now and then you need to give yourself a good self-talk. Every now and then. Are you with me? I ain't talking about doing this all the time. But I'm just talking about it. Sometimes you just need to counsel yourself. Now, look, we're mortal. Some of us have illnesses in our bodies that could very well take our lives. Okay? So what are we going to do? Sit around and worry about it all the time? I'll read another internet article and self-diagnose because you've got every bad quality that... have you ever found that when you start reading about diseases, you qualify for all of them? It don't make any difference which one it is. Oh, man, I got that too on top of the, and then you go to the doctor and he lays some stuff on you. And what I'm telling you is this. You got to learn on occasion to start talking to yourself. Now, nobody tells me what I need to hear. Nobody. So I have to talk to myself. I am my favorite conversationalist next to the Holy Spirit. Because nobody tells me what I need to hear, like I need to hear it, but me. Now, you can win the argument against yourself. You say, well, what do you say? Well, you say to yourself what the Bible says about you. For the life of me, I cannot understand why conservative Christians identify themselves with their old man instead of the new creature in Christ. I have no idea why we have been hammered with depravity and we think that our old heart is us, but God said, I'm going to take that old heart out and I'm going to put a new heart in. You're not what you used to be. Say that out loud. I'm not what I used to be. Say that out loud. I am not what I used to be. Hallelujah. You're a child of God. You're justified. You're sanctified. That's what the Word of God says. I don't care what you've heard your whole life. A bunch of that stuff we should have never heard anyhow. Because it was an overemphasis. It was imbalanced. It was out of whack. And it left out the positive truths and positive statements of Scripture concerning the people of God. You are justified. You're sanctified. You're the righteousness of God. You're adopted. You're accepted. You're a child of God, for crying out loud. You're a joint heir with Jesus. You're going to rule and reign. And overcomers are going to sit with them on the throne. What about some of this? Instead of being so critical of these happy churches, listen, don't throw away your good doctrine, but ditch the bad doctrine and add the rest of the doctrine and you'll have a good combination right there. Some of y'all missed that. I don't know. But that's the truth anyhow. But now look. You're going to find what you're looking for. Do you have vultures out here? Vultures are all the time looking for something dead. They're looking for roadkill, carnage. By the way, we live out in the country and we have wild turkeys, okay? Springtime, we have gobbler season. You know, it's mating season, so the gobblers are out there gobbling their heads off. And my son and I went down behind the house. And we set up a fake turkey, and then we cranked up our turkey calls, trying to lure in the gobbler looking for romance. And we're trying to lure him in with these doop, 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 these little hen calls. When all of a sudden, over here on the left, here comes a commotion, and we look over, and here is a tall black bird coming through the woods. And I'm thinking, we've done it, but. As we sat there quietly, and the closer it got, we detected something is not right. It didn't have a big chest and a red head and its tail feathers out and, you know, strutting. It wasn't like that at all. It was a solid black bird, skinny as Jono, and solid black, and it wasn't walking, it wasn't running, it was hopping. And when it got about 35 feet away from here to the back of the church, we figured it out. We've called in a buzzard, for crying out loud. Can you believe that? We called in a buzzard. Now, buzzards feed on dead things. And we figured, he probably thought that it was a hen and there was a turkey nest with some eggs in it, so he was going to sneak in and eat the eggs. That's what we figured had happened. But anyhow, you're going to find what you're looking for. And if you're looking for something negative, you ain't got to look far. But a hummingbird, he's looking for something sweet. My father spent most of his life sitting on the front porch. And he was sitting in his old rocking chair. And one day a hummingbird came and sat right on his knee. I mean, he was so familiar with it, he just came and sat on his knee. Now, hummingbirds, they're not looking for roadkill or something dead. They're looking for something sweet. Flowers or honey water. Now, here's the thing. You're going to find what you are looking for. If you want to look for something negative, something dead, you'll find it. But you got to set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. You've got to determine that whatsoever things are true and honest and good and any virtue and any report, if there's any praise, man, if there's any blessing, meditate, dwell on these things. Somebody says, well, I'm not a good meditator. We're all meditators. The problem is we're meditating on the wrong stuff. Because meditation is just contemplation. It's just rehashing. It's just turning over in our mind, right? It's reliving our past hurts. Anybody ever get tired of getting ripped off? By Christians? You got to fight against this. Try to put the thing right, but then you got to drop it. Amen? And you got to set your mind on things above. You got to fix your mind on proper things. It's an effort, but it's a winnable war. Now, your heart will always be talking to you, but you can't allow your heart to control your emotions. You're going to have to speak to yourself and tell yourself to ship up. And you can choose to stop listening to yourself and stop by starting talking to yourself. Now look, if you want to win the argument against yourself, number one, think about what you're thinking about on the plane ride tomorrow. I'll be on the plane sitting there and these thoughts will come into my mind about some unpleasant situations. I better be thinking about what I'm thinking about. Wait a minute, hold it. I've already been down this path. I'm not going over this again. Hold it. I reject this. I refuse this. I'm not listening to this. Then I have my phone so I can plug in a praise song and get caught away in something positive. Now, what about this one? To win the argument against yourself, think about what you're thinking about. Number two, say to yourself what you need to hear. Now, listen to me right here. Don't be gentle with yourself. You know, you're gentle with other people when you're trying to help them, right? So there comes a point for some straight talk, but don't get into self-condemnation and beating yourself up and you know, just laying yourself, do a little of that, but then get on to something else, you know, and tell yourself to get up and to move on. Remember George Mueller, great prayer man? He said that the first thing he did every day when he got up was to get his soul happy in God. He said the first thing was not to eat breakfast. It was not to read the Bible. And it was not to pray. But the first thing he ever did was to get his soul happy in God. In thy presence, there's fullness of joy. God is a supremely happy being. In his presence, fullness of joy. Is more to it than duty. We've been heavy duty. We've just been heavy on all that stuff. And there's a place for duty. There's a place for doing right. Of course there's a place for all of that. But brother, you could no more do right in your own strength than a man on the moon. So we need the power of God. Amen. And the best way is to get your soul happy in the Lord. And sometimes you got to help yourself to get on the right foot. Can anybody give me a witness on what I've said here tonight? So let's do this tonight. Let's think about what we've been thinking about and realize that, you know, there are times when we get down, but we don't have to stay down. And we can practice this art of stop listening to ourselves, start talking to ourselves. We can win the argument against ourselves. All right. Thoughts, comments, corrections, suggestions on what we said here tonight. Let's have a little family time here tonight. Is that okay, brother? A little family time here tonight. What do y'all think about this? You've been around for 85 years, Brother Crabtree. Do you ever talk to yourself?
Yes, sir.
Well, what do you say?
Not good.
No. Okay, let's get on the other side here. You got any thoughts on this that you can share with us that could help us? Yeah, talk to us. Stand up there. Talk to us, brother. Yeah.
One of the things that I always think about, you know, I've never been worried about being short. I really have not. And I've been short a long time. And so I decided that when I got married, I was going to marry a girl that's taller than I am. And I wanted to do that because I wanted my kids to have a fighting chance. And it worked out good. My boys were tall and my girls were short. And it worked really, really good. All right, now, all of that to say, when we got married, I had to stand on a step and she stood on the floor. Because you know that in the ceremony, it comes a time when the pastor says you may kiss the bride. And I did not want to look up. And I wanted to kiss down. And the rest of my life I have been looking up. But she and I have a wonderful, wonderful time. It's joy. And sometimes I find myself talking to myself in a disparaging way. I mean about myself. And I realize that in so doing that, then I end up moody or despairing. And it's ugly. And so I quit doing that, and I've tried to overcome when I talk to myself about what it can be so and what is so from the hand of God. And in this year, I've told Pastor, I've learned some things, and part of it's been when I was talking to myself. And it's been of great value getting me ready for whenever that is to go to heaven.
That's really good. You ever worry about death? Well, some of you do. Well, you need to have a conversation with yourself. You need to remind yourself. Put it in perspective. Somebody else? Thoughts, suggestions, clarifications? Anybody else got something to say? Add to this. You know, John O, pastor. Yeah, right here. By the way, how many like to see Pastor Crabtree kiss up to his wife? I mean, wouldn't you like to see that? Like, hey, honey. Oh, sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry. I should have done that. I'm joking with him. I'm sorry. Sorry.
I was thinking the key to a lot of this is quiet time. And we don't really, in our society, it's something you have to intentionally do is to take some time to sit down and free yourself from distractions, put your phone away, put the distractions away, and actually meditate on thinking about what you're thinking about and saying to yourself what you need to hear. You know, quiet time with God and then filtering all that through His Word. In quiet time is a key.
Excellent.
Where's so and so? Well, what's wrong with? Why didn't? Who said? Did you know? Why, Pastor? What are you going to fix? Can you go call? Why didn't you call? Do you realize? Hey, have you ever thought about this? And I think I could go on. Those are things I need to hear by virtue of what I do. But there's times where I need to get away during the day, and I try. And whether you call it nap time or just alone time, where I just talk to myself, talk to the Lord, reboot, refresh.
There's something called the Scriptural Confessions of an Overcomer. It's on our website, but it's all the scriptural things that God says are true about people who are saved and born again, and it's absolutely tremendous. Yes, sir.
So I spend a lot of time behind the steering wheel, and I find that when I'm in the city and in the stress of traffic, there are a lot of thoughts that cross my mind about that fool that just cut me off or all those kinds of things. But the farther I get away from Denver, the traffic thins out. And I find that if I listen to the radio, they're always angry about this guy and angry about that guy. And I carry a pack of CDs with me. And a lot of them are those gospel outreach quartet fellas singing. And I just got a bunch more of them from the trip up the mountain. And I find that a lot of those are so fun to sing along with. Helps me have right thoughts about God, about reaching out to the lost. All the things that God wants me to be thinking about, scripture songs, as Ken just said. And you know, I find that if I want right things, garbage in, garbage out, gospel in, gospel out. And those gospel songs are such a blessing to me when I'm driving.
It's good.
Help control thoughts.
Three things God's given us to refresh us: nature, friends, and music. Why does everybody head to the hills? Well, it's beautiful up there, right? It refreshes us, eh? Why do we go to the beach? Well, it's some people find it refreshing. Friends are refreshing, but music is refreshing. I just interviewed a lady on her Facebook, and she had an accident 14 years ago. She's paralyzed from the waist down. She has three children. She's married. She's in chronic pain. And I said to her, I said, what has helped you to face your handicap? And she said, music. That's what she said, music. And you know what else she said? She said, I wouldn't trade my condition for anything. Because she's found some help through her handicap. By the way, your misery becomes your ministry. Because when you go through something, you got a heart to help somebody else that's going through it. And you know exactly what to tell them. And you know exactly when to be quiet. you know exactly how to help. Your ministry, your misery becomes your ministry. And out of that flows mercy. Amen. Somebody else? Thoughts on what we're talking about? Yes, ma'am? Yeah.
I think this is essential if you have suffered any trauma. If you've had trauma, this is a good way to stop that. You can stop the pictures. You can stop the rolling of the times that have been really hard in your life.
We don't have to rehearse all the time, do we? Yeah, Steve. How many enjoy Steve's song leading other than me? I mean, I like the way this guy leads singing. This is good. You know, because he's enjoying it, it helps us to enjoy it. Yeah, sorry, brother. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say I got a couple things from my dad, and I think that's one of them. I learned a lot about having a lot of joy in singing from my dad. But, you know, a couple things I learned from my dad is I used to go to work at 5 o'clock in the morning to go do construction. You know, I'd walk downstairs at 5 in the morning. You know where my dad was? Sitting at the table reading his Bible. You know, I had to get up pretty early to beat him up, and that's what he was doing. And then he'd talk about whatever passage he was reading, and I learned a lot from that. And the other thing that I really was impressed by him, and I joke with people, and I was up in the mountain, I was joking with some guys. I think my dad's crazy. He ran these ultra marathons and, you know, 50-plus mile races, and there's something wrong with him. I mean, really, there is. But what was wrong with him is he was a paramedic full-time and a pastor full-time, and he dealt with people dying weekly, physically and spiritually, and the weight was so heavy, he would read his Bible, and he'd go out and run. And he'd sing, and he had talked to himself, and he had prepared his messages, and he had let the word of God work in his heart, and it would take him 4 or 5 hours for that peace to come back, and then he would come back. And, boy, I'll tell you, there's something along what you're saying that I learned from my dad that I got to be better at putting into place about doing that.
That's good. Somebody else? Yeah, right here. We got a couple over here. Preacher, you come on up and take it as you see fit. Yeah.
Kind of add on to what Steve is saying. There's a warning in there, too. I mean, we can't hear each other's thoughts. But as a kid, I think a lot of times I could tell what my dad was saying to himself. I could hear what he's saying to himself. And I feel that in myself still, even now grown up. And my dad's passed away. You know, and times you hear your dad, you hear your parents talking to themselves, right? You hear what they're saying. And if you're feeding yourself negativity, that could get handed down. That could get fed into your kids. Your kids are going to hear that and feel that. So be like Steve's dad, not like mine.
Yeah, when you hear your parents uttering stuff like, I wish I'd never been born, or, you know, boy, it has a negative impact. But as God's people, we can get beyond all of that, and we can start talking the right stuff. This sister here, you have something? Yes, this sister right here.
Here you go.
I know that the battle is in the mind. I've experienced that. Big time. Well, most of you know that we moved to California, didn't know anybody out there, and Satan, I guess me, to hear you tonight, it was me. That was my worst enemy. And I got into the Psalms. Psalms and the Proverbs. Yeah. I was actually diagnosed with a mental problem. And I didn't take the drug. I got into the Psalms and the Proverbs, and I have got a Bible that's, they're almost worn out.
Amen.
And God Amen. Healed me. Really? And I'll tell you, what a blessing. Sounds funny to say, it's a blessing to have experienced that and know that, because I could relate totally to what you were saying.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, was it David that said, I communed with myself? That's, well, we can relate to what we heard tonight. You know, I talk with people that brought up in homes where everything was bad. Everything was bad. Oh, look at the roads. They're so bad. Oh, look at this road signs. Can you believe they make such ugly signs? Why don't they paint those signs a different color? And, you know, they come into a parking lot. Oh, I can't believe all the huge divots, the pits, and, you know, oh, hey, we just sealed that parking lot. It's still bad. It's really bad. It's really bad. And you get in the car, and, oh, I just can't believe I have this car. And, you know, this key never works. And you know, that driver in front of me, I cannot believe how stupid he is. You know, these people, look at them crowd in line. You know, yeah. You just, you just get fed up with the negativism. And I know families that have had that, and, you know, they hear that from their parents. And like you said, Josh, that feeds down. It goes on down, and those kids become negative. Nothing's ever good. Nothing's ever good. And there's times when we need to get away and refresh, reboot. And talk with the Lord, talk with ourselves, you know, get strict. What are you doing? Why don't you shut your big mouth? Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. Don't say shut up.
You know, it's just like, I see, I'll take off on this just a minute. There's somebody that's really bad influence on me. And, I've been seeing this person every day. In fact, you know, when I get up in the morning, I see this person. And when I brush my teeth, I see this person. When I shave, I see this person. Yeah, Ken says that's why he doesn't shave. Yeah, but, you know, and I think it has a lot to do with what you're saying. And I think God needs to turn our thinking around. And we need to start rejoicing in the Lord and start really thinking right thoughts and actually getting to the place where we confront ourselves when we think wrong. I think that's what you're saying. So, thank you. Amen? Father, we are grateful for what we've heard tonight. Thank you for this tremendous challenge. Just a family challenge, a family talk. And Lord, I can't help but think of what would happen with our families, our children, if we begin to apply what we just heard. What would happen is we reach out to other people. We're so busy thinking about ourselves, we can't think of somebody just new that just came to our church. And we're too busy thinking about ourselves, talking about ourselves, concerned about ourselves. Oh, dear God, I pray that you would help us in this area of thinking right thoughts and casting down imaginations and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Lord, we need this. We need this. I need this. We give you the glory.